Chapter 12. Location? After school at Woodland Park. Taylor stormed out through the double doors of her school, having just been told by her teacher that she had to go to summer school if she wanted to go on to the third grade. Struggling into her backpack, she stomped down the sidewalk, heading for her father's office. "What's the matter, Taylor?" Nimbus asked, seeing no other kids around. "Why are you walking so fast?"
"I hate school," she shouted. "I hate the kids at school, I hate the food, I hate my teacher, and I hate walking to my dad's office."
"Wow, that's a lot of hate," Nimbus said, floating closer. Taylor jerked to a stop and looked back at her school.
"My friend Tamara always gets picked up after school by her mom, but no, my mother says it's good for you to walk to your dad's office. She tells me that I can spend some quality time with my dad." "He's a little busy, Mom."
"Well, at least it's a nice day to walk," Nimbus said. "See, I'm the only cloud in the sky." Taylor smiled and slowed down, spotting an old soda can in the gutter. She kicked it into the street and stomped her left foot into its center. It crushed and wrapped around her untied black and white tennis shoe. The sound of metal hitting the sidewalk made her laugh.
"What happened at school today? Did someone pick on you?"
"No, Nimbus, nobody would dare. If they tried, I'd flatten them like this can."
Taylor kicked at the air and the metal can shot off down the street, shoe and all. She ran to retrieve it.
"I just don't get that reading stuff," she said, pulling the can from her shoe. "My teacher, Mrs. Applegate, says the words are supposed to tell you a story."
"Well, the words aren't talking to me."
"Maybe this is a good time to start your reading lesson then," Nimbus said.
"Now?"
She hopped around on one foot, trying to get her shoe back on.
"Why not?" Nimbus said, following Taylor over to the front yard of a vacant blue house. There, stuck in the grass, was a sign that read, "For Sale by Owner."
"Do you know the sounds that the letters make?" Taylor dropped her backpack on the ground.
"Of course I know the letters and the sounds they make. I'm in the second grade, Nimbus. Hello."
She sat down on the grass and tied her shoe.
"It's the words, the big words. I don't know what they say."
"So you can read this sign." Nimbus floated over to the for sale sign.
"Duh, for sale by owner. A baby can read that."
"Okay, that's a good thing, right?" Taylor pulled a permission slip out of her backpack.
"Mr. Rasmussen, the school band director, came to my classroom today to talk to us about playing in the band next year."
"They only take kids that pass the second grade."
"Well, then are you going to be in his band?"
"You have to pass the second grade and you have to be able to know how to read, Nimbus."
"Well, that's why I'm here. Don't you want to try?"
"Well, I want to."
Taylor picked up a dandelion that had gone to seed.
"It was so fun to blow into some of the different instruments."
She blew hard at the flower, and the white curls danced away.
"Then what are you waiting for? Give the permission slip to your mom."
"But you have to go to summer school band first to learn how to play the instrument before they even let you play in the real band. And I just found out that I have to go to reading summer school. I can't do both because they start at the same time."
"Well, maybe after I help you learn to read, you won't have to go to reading summer school at all."
Taylor was quiet, then said, "Mr. Rasmussen wants me to play the French horn because they don't have anyone to play that yet. He says I have really good lifts for that instrument. He made us all blow through the French horn mouthpiece. I did the best. David Whittington dripped spit all over his pant leg when he tried. It was gross, and some kids laughed."
"I bet you'll be really good at playing the French horn."
"I'm not going to play the French horn, Nimbus. No way."
"But I thought you said, look, I could never carry that big case to my dad's office."
"Actually, I wanted to play the bagpipes, but Mr. Rasmussen said they didn't have those in the band. I asked why not, and he said that only Irish play the bagpipes. I told him I was Scottish, and they liked the bagpipes too. He told me that if I insisted on playing the bagpipes, I would have to go to Scotland and play in their band." so I guess I'll play the flute. That's the smallest case to carry if you have to walk to your dad's office.
I love flute music, Nimbus said, but first we have to work on your reading.
Now? Well, now's as good a time as any.
Nimbus started to build. He shaped himself into a blackboard in the sky, only it was white.
Taylor stood up and brushed the grass off of her pants. She watched Nimbus get flat and big so he could write on himself. The lesson began. That afternoon was very successful, and Taylor was feeling better about her future. He tutored her every day in the back courtyard of her father's office. She usually did her homework there anyway, and wasn't disturbed until her dad took a break.
Nimbus spent hours in his new blackboard shape, and Taylor was improving rapidly. Then one day, Taylor started getting a ride home from school by Tamara's mother. Since they lived on the next property to the south, Taylor was dropped off at the end of the long gravel driveway. It was half the distance to walk compared to walking to her dad's, which made Taylor happy again. Her parents thought all of their threats about summer school and homeschooling were the reasons for her improvement in school. So everyone seemed to be good with the new arrangement. Taylor's mom was especially happy that her daughter finally had a new friend named Tamara. Nimbus found that Taylor's bedroom seemed to work the best. Her parents both worked and didn't come home until late, so he could dart in and out of the shower if needed. Nimbus decided that if he just spent a half an hour on reading and helped her with her other homework, all was well. Nimbus usually came in through Taylor's bedroom window at a set time every day. But this time the window was locked, and Taylor wasn't there to let him in. He saw her school books on her bed, so he knew she was home. Maybe something was wrong. He found an open window downstairs and drifted in and up the stairs to her room. Sounds were coming from her closet, but it didn't sound like she was in trouble. Then he heard a loud gong, which puzzled him. He needed to see what she was doing in her closet. Slowly, he spread out into a thin mist so he could go under the closet door. Taylor had a large walk-in closet that not only contained her clothes, but all of her toys, too. However, most of her toys were on her bedroom floor to make room in her closet for the card table and three folding chairs. Taylor sat in one, wearing a purple shawl draped over her head. Her customers, Tamara and her little sister Abby, sat in the other two chairs. Tamara was shuffling the Angel Tarot deck of cards.
"Just keep shuffling until I tell you when to stop," Taylor said. "Your energy needs to flow into the cards to get a good reading."
Taylor picked up the $5 bill and put it in the Kleenex box on the table.
"I hope you are really going to be able to contact my grandmother," Tamara said, sitting next to her younger sister who hadn't said a word.
Tamara and Taylor's friendship was growing, and Taylor had felt confident about telling her new friend her secret, the secret that she was great at talking to the dead.
"I usually do your reading first, but do you want to talk to your grandmother before?"
Taylor took the cards out of Tamara's hands and laid them on the table.
"That's why we came," Tamara said, looking at her sister with excitement.
"Well then, let me get my crystal ball," Taylor said.
She reached behind her chair and pulled a Christmas tree ornament out of the cardboard box. It looked like a crystal, but was just a large glass globe. She set it on a tinfoil stand that she had made specifically for it. Taylor did what all seance enchantresses did. She closed her eyes and moved her hands over the globe, whispering and humming. Then she stopped and opened her eyes and asked,
what was your grandmother's name?"
"Grammy," blurted out little sister Abby.
"Her real name," Taylor said, smiling.
"Margaret McKenzie," Tamara said, patting her sister's leg affectionately.
Just about the same time Taylor called up Margaret McKenzie's spirit, Nimbus entered from under the closet door. Since Taylor was facing the door, she saw Nimbus right away and started shaking her head no. Nimbus, who was baffled by the whole scene, started shaping back into a cloud. Not knowing what else to do, he hovered above the two girls. "What's the matter?" Tamara asked, seeing Taylor shaking her head.
Nothing. I was just thought I saw your grandmother's. but I'm not sure.
Taylor made the mistake of looking wide-eyed at Nimbus, who was trying to stay high at the ceiling above the girls. The next thing that happened, the girls were looking up, too. Screams filled the air. Nimbus was startled, and when Nimbus is unexpectedly alarmed, he immediately starts to glow and spark. More screams and total chaos came next, with Taylor grabbing the Christmas ball and the Kleenex box before the whole table tipped over. The tarot cards scattered everywhere as the two girls struggled to get the door open. Pushing each other out of the closet, they ran out of Taylor's bedroom and down the stairs, still screaming. Nimbus followed close behind. He needed to get outside fast.
Oh, no, not another Esmeralda experience, Nimbus thought.
He didn't mean to chase them down the stairs, but he was ready to explode. The screaming girls reached the front door and swung it open. Nimbus shot past them and up into the sky, exploding like a firework on the 4th of July. The girls jerked to a halt to watch, and Taylor was soon at their sides.
"Wow, it was your grandmother," Taylor said, hoping it would calm them down.
"Was she a wild and crazy type of grandmother?" she asked, watching the last of Nimbus hit the lake.
"Yeah, she was so fun," Abby said, puffing and wiping the tears from her eyes.
"Grammy was our best friend," Tamara added. She hugged Abby as she watched the last of the sizzle disappear in the water.
"Well, then, don't you see? It was your grandmother trying to talk to you, but since you screamed, it must have scared her," Taylor said.
She was proud that she thought of something so fast to cover for Nimbus.
"Can we do it again?" Tamara asked.
"I'm not doing it again," Abby said.
"Okay, but how about just me?" Tamara said.
"Well, sure," Taylor said, "but it'll cost you another $5.